What is up, Rundown Nation? I am Woj.
And I'm Wall.
And this is the College Football Rundown with Woj and Wall. I forgot. Wall mentioned or mentioned that he did the vote when I was gone that week. It is now the Wall and Woj. I am going to look to get that changed. I do need a majority vote, though, so I'm going to need a listener to call in and be a guest and side with me on that one so we can get that back. But welcome. We have a kind of lull week here, Wall, with the SEC doing its yearly playing the little sisters of the poor.
Yeah, it's pathetic. The NCAA, the playoff committee specifically, needs to find a way to punish that because they go off of who is the best team at the end of the year. We're talking about judging Alabama as maybe one of the best teams. They're playing Chattanooga. When they play them, you know, second or third last team of the year, how do you judge how good that football team is? There needs to be some punishment some way. Not saying you suspend people or you suspend teams from the postseason, but you got to penalize them for scheduling these games that late in the season.
I would agree. SEC is pretty much well in hand as far as who's in the championship game there, but there are some other games, some good games this weekend that will kind of determine who goes where, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But first off, last week's DraftKings, new winner, first time winner this season, Cruz 2-4-4, won with 163.82 points. JM Duf finished in second with 160.34, and James 03 in third with 159. Cruz took running backs Jaden Ott from Cal and Mahik Hughes from Tulane, combined for $13,300, 57.40 points between both of them combined for 231 per point. So well done there on the running back side of things. Official 8-week rankings now through 11 weeks. We have a tie for first, Wall. We got Story 1135 and JM Doof now at 2.375. And then I'm in second with 2.625. Wall, you finally got your 8 in, but I you're not up there. I'm sorry.
Well, there's so many people in this. And I saw last week we had a lot of people participating in the league, which I was happy to see. But, man, it hurts my chances. Before I got in there, low numbers, I could get high, but not anymore. We got some real competitors over there.
And then in the 8-week total, we have – this is crazy to me. We almost have a tie. We are 100.10 point difference between James O3 who's in first and JM Doof in second with 1,269.84 to 1,069.74. That's pretty wild to me.
Yeah, when you're talking about numbers in the thousands, and normally people would say like 1/10 of a point for what we have here, 1/10 of a point off or a number in the thousands, like, it's just incredible. That shows you the competitiveness of this league, Woj.
Yeah, and I was kind of playing around with the numbers, you know, for the final 2 weeks of the season here. I was just like punching in a couple of different things, taking out some low numbers from people.
Bet you were. So you're manufacturing those lines.
No. The system kicks out the low numbers. So if you put in like a first for somebody, there are a lot of people with a lot of good chances. And we might see an average ranking of below 2. The average ranking or average wins. So that's crazy to me. It's very possible. JM Doof, I think, has the upper hand as far as average wins. I think he has multiple chances to be within under 2 or at 2, and not a lot of people have an opportunity to catch him unless they finish first in the final 2 weeks. So we'll see. It's going to be a barn burner here going forward. This week, man, this was a tough week to look into some DraftKings, Wall. But first, we'll get into last week's games. Georgia pounds Ole Miss 52-17, Wall, becomes the number one in the rankings now, finally.
Yeah, and I just don't get it. The playoff committee and we do not see eye to eye because Georgia did not beat a better football team than Michigan just beat. Yet this is the week that Georgia jumps ahead of a Big Ten. Like, the logic with them is just – it befuddles me, Woj. I don't get it. Why this week? I've said the whole season, since they started coming out with the playoffs, I should say, that Georgia's the best team in the nation. Why do they jump this week? I don't get it. I know Ole Miss, people thought they were a good football team. We've talked about on this program. I've said my opinion about them. I do not believe they're a good football team. Well, they just lost 52-17. I don't know that Georgia should get that much respect. for beating an Ole Miss football team by that much, because I don't think Ole Miss was a top 10 team to begin with.
In talking about that Michigan team, they did beat Penn State 24-15. A very grindy win in the second half. It was a very Big Ten-esque game, as Michigan did not throw a pass in the second half, ran it 32 straight times. Blake Corum did a press conference afterwards, and you could just see his face was all bruised and bloodied and battered up. I mean, he just got thrown into the grinder wall.
Oh, absolutely. Which I love how you brought that up, because I did see that he actually had on-field on-field interview where he was looking a little bit bloody. And then that post-game press conference, sitting down, you're absolutely right. It just shows you a heart of a champion, a man dripping blood as he's answering questions. Doesn't even bother him, but man, he earned every yard of that game. You mentioned they did not pass the football in the second half. They had 27 consecutive runs, that is Michigan. But when it's working, why stop? Just keep pounding.
Yeah. I guess that works. It's a good big 10 way to do it. But Florida State gets past Miami Wall 27-20, a little tighter than I think Florida State fans would have expected, especially coming down the stretch here. But they are still ranked number 4 in the overall rankings.
I was really cheering for Miami in this one, because I don't want to see that ACC team in the playoffs. The conference hasn't shown me anything. Obviously, Florida State has a good path now to get there. Florida, really the only one that's going to stand in their way, even come ACC conference championship time. You know, Florida State's just going to have an easy run of it, in my opinion. 15.5 points, you know, spread in that game. They only did win by a touchdown, which you mentioned, a lot closer than people expected. So if you did have Miami on the spread there, good for you. You cashed a ticket.
Yep. Washington stays undefeated, beating Utah 35-28. Not much to say there. Penix just doing normal Penix things. 3 touchdowns, pretty much controlled the game for them there. Surprised that they let Utah score 28 points, though, for a team that hasn't really scored all that much. But Washington still being the dominant team and the clear favorite to win the Pac-12 there, Wal.
And Utah scored those points early. They got off scoring real quick. Did you see that? I can't believe it still happens to this day, especially in college football. The Washington interception where he's going to return it for a touchdown and he, you know, dropped it right before the end zone to do his celebration.
Yeah,
I don't know if you caught that. Just like, how does that still happen? Again, what happened the next play? Washington gets a safety. So really not a whole lot.
Yeah.
How do these players keep doing that? Like, hold the ball through the end zone. I don't get why it keeps happening. But in that football game, I mean, Washington was the better team. I agree. Utah looked very good. They scored more points than I would have expected myself. Like I mentioned, they did it early. So Utah, good football program. Washington, just a little bit better. Although, I don't know if we're going to get to that game today. They're expected to be, well, I shouldn't say they're expected to be. They are the underdog as of now this week, Woj.
Pretty
crazy, huh?
It is pretty wild. I have to do an apology here with the next game I'm going to talk about to the DraftKings Nation. 2 things. One, I did get right. I said out of this game last week would have come, you would have to have somebody in this game to be probably a winner. And I'm sure that was probably still the case. I don't know. I don't play all the different prizes and games in the big game. But I also said that UCF has the second worst rushing defense in the country, and they did. They don't anymore, though, no, Wall. They destroyed Oklahoma State 45-3, only giving up 52 yards to a team that has dominated on the ground in the run game thus far to this point. One of those outlier games, kind of weird, but I guess if you had some UCF players, you're doing pretty good.
Yeah, I hope you got some salt for that crow you got to eat, Woj, because I mean, this was an unexpected 100%. I'm not entirely surprised that UCF won the game, but how they won that football game, just crushing Oklahoma State, it has to be the biggest surprise of the weekend. To me, it definitely is. I would think to most of the nation, it probably is too, how UCF won that football game. Hey, to the moon, I guess. And I don't know if you caught that reference, well, with Gus Malzahn over there, but to the moon with this team.
But even odds makers had it wrong by a lot. It was Oklahoma State. I had them in pick 'em. I lost. It was Oklahoma State minus 2.5. But yeah, 25-3, you're not going to cover that one. But moving on, I do want to get into a little bit of, with 2 weeks left here, of the conference championship breakdowns. There's a couple of them that are easy, a couple of them that we're probably going to have to turn around and come back to next week, because they're just, it's well over my head as far as how many different scenarios and combos it can be. But the SEC is easy, Wall. Who's taking us to the championship game in the SEC?
Well, it's no surprise over the past few years. We got Bama, Georgia, right, Woj?
Yeah.
Going at to see who's the top dog in the SEC. And that's, I mean, it has a lot of implications. I just, man, I go back to if Alabama beats that Georgia team, it screws a lot of stuff up, Woj.
Yeah. It does. ACC, Florida State has clinched. They are in no matter what. Louisville will clinch if they beat Miami this weekend. Otherwise, the floodgates open and all hell breaks loose in the ACC, and there's many paths for many teams to get in. But if Louisville does beat Miami at 11 a.m. on ABC this week, they will be in. Well,
I'm hoping that the floodgates open. Let's just create chaos over the ACC. I don't think it matters, though. Like I said, I think the only competition Florida State has left is that Florida football team out of the SEC. I will be a huge Gators fan in a couple weeks, hoping they take down Florida State. But you know what? Whoever wins over there to play against Florida State in the championship, I think they have a tough path in beating Florida State.
The Big 12 is a complete mess. There'll be more on this next week. But if Texas wins out or at least beats Iowa State, they should be in and should clinch. But there is a whole slew of things over there. They have some weird tiebreakers too. Oklahoma State, Oklahoma. If it came down to a tie between the two of them, it would actually be Oklahoma somehow. I don't know, even though Oklahoma State beat them. So it's a whole thing over there, but we'll have more on that for next week. Well, but hopefully Texas gets it. I think they do have a chance. Iowa State's, I think, only chance to get in is if they beat Texas. So I think if Texas beats Iowa State, they'll be good. Well,
Texas is playing Iowa State this weekend. Who do you think I'm cheering for in that
football game? Yeah. Big Ten, Walt, Ohio State or Michigan will be the East champ regardless of what happens this week. They do play each other, obviously, that final week that like they do every year. It'll be one of those two teams likely playing Iowa. Iowa just needs one more win in their last two games to clinch. Otherwise, if they were to lose both games, every team has a chance other than Purdue. Purdue is now out, but all the other teams in the West do have a chance if I were to lose both games. Unlikely for that to happen, though, Wall.
Hey, sorry, Boilermakers. You're not going to get in there. But I have to say this. You didn't mention it. I already clinched being our side of the division, the West side champion. We just might not make it to the championship game. We did clinch at least a share of the title over there.
Yes, correct. You're correct. I'm sorry. But yeah, just saying who's going to the game, it just depends on what happens. But they do just need to win one of the last two, and they're in for sure, and do clinch, and we'll go to that game. Pac-12, Washington is in if they win one of the final two games that they have. Oregon would just need to beat Oregon State. I believe they have Arizona State this weekend, but it wouldn't matter as long as they beat Oregon State. And if neither of those or just one of those things were to happen, it is as big of a mess as the Big 12. So thanks in large part to Arizona, who just keeps beating ranked teams in that division, other than Washington and Oregon. So it just becomes a mess, but likely the best odds for that to happen and like best chances are going to be a Washington-Oregon Pac-12 championship game. Wall.
You mentioned Arizona. They're favorites against the Utes this weekend. It's just incredible what that football team is doing. But Pac-12 is going to be interesting. I was talking with Hardways over there on the SBI podcast. I am torn between whether Oregon controls their own destiny or not. I think if Oregon wins out and they win the Pac-12 championship, they get into the playoff, into the college football playoff. But obviously, it comes down to that Pac-12 championship game. And I don't know who I would take Oregon, Washington right now, Woj. Who would you take?
Oregon?
Yeah, I'd probably go that way too.
I mean, man, it's tough. So you think you come down to players. Like offensively, I just gravitate, and most people probably do in the country, gravitate towards the quarterback. And I mean, Bo Nix versus Michael Penix Jr. I mean, they're both good players.
Fantastically.
It's just wild. I mean, both of the offenses ride on them. I think Washington has a slight edge defensively, even though, again, we just talked about them giving Utah 28 points early. I don't know. It would be a great game. I'd love to watch it. And I'd love for both of those teams to get into the mix for the playoffs. And, well, we probably would have that scenario as of next year, Wall, with the 12-team playoff.
Yeah, there you go. They'll be in the Big Ten, though, so they'll be going against Michigan, Ohio State, and we probably wouldn't be talking about either one of those teams right now, but we shall see.
Yeah, we shall see. All right, couple games for this week, Walt. App State at James Madison, 1 p.m. on ESPN+.
Hey, got to love it, Woj. We're talking about 8.5, 9, 9.5-point spread, depending where you're looking, but your James Madison, the team you've been talking about all year long, is favored minus 335 on the money line. You got to throw up 335 to get that 100 back. I'm going to guess Woj isn't going to go that way this week, but who knows? You want to take App State, a team I love over there in the Sun Belt Conference. You can get plus 280. That means $280 back in your pocket on a $100 bet. We got an over under a 55.5. The man, Woj, all year has been talking about these James Madison players. I'm guessing you got a couple people in this one.
I do. And if, like you mentioned with the just betting James Madison, if there was one week where I wouldn't necessarily want to take James Madison, to be this week. Appalachian State's a good team, and kind of very good in the ways that James Madison isn't. Their defense is good against what James Madison likes to do, and that's throw the ball with Jordan McLeod. Let's talk about the quarterbacks first. Joey Aguilar. I said it wrong, obviously, but I just have to do that for every episode.
It was the first time you got me laughing this year, Woj. I mean, it's not the first time you butchered one, but it's the first time you got me chuckling over here.
He's 7,500. He's been over 250 yards in his last 5 of 6 games, 17 touchdowns in that span. James Madison's given up 263 yards per game in the air. They do give up fewer touchdowns, but they still give up a lot of yards, and App State's one of those guys that can punish that and get the ball into the end zone, unlike some of the teams that James Madison has been playing. So that's kind of the issue there, and that's where I see App State making up some ground. On the other side of this, you have Jordan McLeod. You can't go wrong with him. He's 8,300. Both of these guys are pretty cheap considering some of the rough salaries out there, which are wild. But App State has been pretty stingy versus the pass, like we just talked about. But McLeod's put up video game numbers, Wall. I mean, the guy is just a beast. The only game he didn't put up video game numbers this year was a 9.9-point game against Troy. They did end up winning that, but Troy has a very similar defense, at least in the secondary, that App State does. So keep that in mind. Since that game, though, which has been 7 games since that Troy game, he's averaging 35.6 points, fantasy points per game. So it's just tough to go against that. But it is a stingy defense, and it's going to be tough. Both teams split duties in the running back. App State struggles against the run, giving up the most yards per attempt and TDs in the ground in the slate. So it's kind of flip flop there. App State's good against the pass on defense and awful against the run. So I think McLeod is the safer bet here too, because he is a dual threat quarterback. I remember in the Georgia State game, he was able to rush in, I think, twice in that game and throw for 3 touchdowns. So it's just one of those things. If you're going to go with a running back, though, at only 4,600, Tyson Lawton from James Madison would be a decent pickup there, especially it's only 4,600, it's cheap. As far as receivers go, if you're going to go receivers, I would go App State side, in thinking that they're going to be able to pass on James Madison. Caden Robinson is 4,500. He's the more consistent guy. Christian Horn is the guy that's been probable at 5,900, but he's the big play guy. And Joey Aguilar, I didn't make you laugh again, Wal.
No, you got me the first time, not so much the second time. I would just go with Aguilar, Woj, if I were you.
Aguilar. He's a big play quarterback, so he likes throwing the ball deep. So Christian Horn's that guy at 5,900. He could score 30 points for you, Wal, but he could also score 2. So it's a risk you take when you pick these games.
Yeah, I wish James Madison wasn't home in this one, although the line would be a little bit different in that case. We're probably talking about a touchdown game. I like going with the Aguilar pick just because I like App State in this football game. They've just had tougher competition on the year. I get it. They're at 6-4, whereas James Madison undefeated, but still, App State's played tougher competition. I have to go with the way I'm going team-wise, so I like that Aguilar pick. I did want to mention, too, I don't know if you saw this. I know you're a huge James Madison fan now, Woj. They creeped into the top 25 for college basketball. Can you believe that?
I did not know that, but yeah. That's kind of exciting. Were they at the little tournament they just had over here in Chicago all this last week, or I assume not, probably?
No, I actually thought about going to Northwestern Dayton game basketball game, but I was not there.
All right. I'm just asking if James Madison was there.
I don't think so. They played Kent State last game. They crushed them.
Gotcha. All right. Moving on, we have UCLA at USC, 2:30 p.m. ABC. Caleb Williams, man, he's $10,000. So before I even give it to you, he's $10,900. Would you spend that much to put him on your DraftKings roster?
Blake Corum, maybe. No, not Caleb Williams. The heck with Caleb Williams. That's a lot of money. It's like,
it's a whole ton of money. Yeah, but go ahead. Give us the spreads and you have all the good stuff there. Well,
you want me to paint that picture for you, Woj? You want me to give you that Picasso?
Yeah, give me that Bob Ross wall.
Bob Ross. All right. Well, what I'm going to do, I'm going to head over here. I'm on sportsbettingintel.com already. I got to click this Pac-12. Man, not going to be clicking Pac-12 for these two teams much more, Woj. We got them moving over to the Big Ten. But in this game, UCLA, USC, we got USC as under a touchdown favorite, -6.5. Earlier in the year, we would have seen this at 10.5, maybe even 14 in this game. But USC, not playing great football. -250, though, on the money line. Obviously the favorite. UCLA +230. We got some points in this one. It's out west. It's at the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. You know they're going to put that total high. Over under 65.5. Got to love it, right, Woj?
You got to love it. We just talked about Caleb Williams. This is likely his last college football game. He'll go to the draft, likely sit out a bowl game. He needs some draft stock, Wall, because he's had some disappointing games this year. Notably, the Notre Dame game, he didn't play all that well against Oregon, even though he tried. I'm honestly not risking $10,000 on Caleb Williams, especially when there's a Bo Nix on the board who's $100 cheaper than him, playing an arguably worse defense against the pass. So it's just too pricey for me. I've been burned so many times as you're picking up a high-priced quarterback, so I'm just going to steer away. But if you do want to get in this game, UCLA likely going to be a little bit behind, and USC's defense is not very good. I kind of put it along the lines of like a Colorado, which UCLA has played. Logan Loya, who's a wide receiver from UCLA, he's only $4,500. It's a really cheap way to get involved. He's really consistent, the most consistent wide receiver on UCLA squad. There's also another one, J. Michael Strutovant. I just wanted to say that name. He's not really that good, but he's $3,900. He's really, really cheap to get into this game if you want to get in. He has big games, but he also has bad games, and he's had a lot more bad games. So I don't have to, at your own risk. I think Loya is the play here from UCLA if you want to go that route and kind of feed into that bad USC defense. So a lot of the wide receivers from USC are pretty pricey. Taj Washington being the most likely to get the most impact. He's well over 8K. So I just like to steer away from those 8K receivers. There's too many other receivers and other games out there that you can get big points for. We've seen kind of running backs dominate the last couple weeks, at least in our league. So I'd like to key in on that wall.
Ian, on that, and you brought up the Bo Nix thing, right?
Yeah,
I love that. You know why? Because I'm over here, I'm looking at the player props on SB Intel. We got Caleb Williams sitting at 292.5, which passing yards I'm talking. That's not a low amount of yards by any means. 292 yards passing is a lot, but still that +10,000 number, that's a huge like outlier. We don't see that very often. So then what I wanted to do is I want to go over and check out Bo Nix, obviously his passing yards, right, Woj? Mm-hmm. Looking at right now, passing yards, Bo Nix, 295.5. He's expected to get more passing yards than Caleb Williams, yet he's that much lower in price. I mean, I love that point, Woj. I love it.
Yeah. I just don't like Caleb Williams. I like, especially like what we just talked about when Bo Nix is on that board. So, all right, moving on. We have number 20, North Carolina at Clemson, 2:30 p.m. on ESPN. Well, tell me a little bit about this game.
Clemson, you want to hear about Clemson? They're a team that, I mean, how much have we talked about them this year? I mean, maybe once.
Yeah, we haven't talked much. We talked about them the Notre Dame week. I know that.
Yeah. I mean, they're not in the spotlight like they used to be, Woj. Dabo Sweeney, great football coach, but just, I mean, they're digressing. I hate to say it. They are. Clemson, though, in this football game, they are the favorites over North Carolina, which is a little surprising to me. Would have been a little surprising to me earlier in the year. Makes sense now. Clemson, you know, getting a little hot here towards the end of the year. -7, -267 on the money line. You want North Carolina? You want to back the right team? +220. Come on now. You're betting the better team, North Carolina, over there? You're getting 220 on it? You got to love that, Woj. You got to love Mr. Mack Brown. Good.
Yeah, who's the better coach here, Wal?
You put me on the spot. Are we talking about Mr. Mack Brown back in his prime at Texas? Easy answer, Mack Brown. I will say Mack Brown still, though, because of the longevity. How many coaches go into retirement and they come out coaching a football team this good that North Carolina's been over the past few years? I'm going to answer that question and say, Mack Brown, Woj. I'm going to pose you a question, though, and say, we got a total of 58. You got anybody in this game?
So everything screams DFS and yells at me about this game, but man, it's tough finding consistency in this game. I just don't know. I look back at like some of the Clemson games against teams like North Carolina, and then I look at North Carolina against teams like Clemson defensively. I just don't know. I'm going to take, and this sounds wild, Amarian Hampton, the running back from UNC, who's 7,300. He's the fifth highest salaried running back on the slate. He's been scoring a ton of points. Clemson hasn't been all that great against the run. But the nice thing here is Hamilton, it gets a lot of targets too. Like last game, he got 9 targets. So there's still the chance there for Mr. May to pass it to Hampton and get some points that way. But at 7,300, I think he's pretty decent here. On the other side of this, we've been talking about the Mafa and Will Shipley combo there. Will Shipley came back last week. He didn't get as many carries as Mafa, but he did more with those carries. I think that swaps the workload this week back to Shipley. I think he'll have the majority of the carries. He's at 5,900. And against North Carolina team, I expect that to be very good in Dabo Sweeney to really key in on slowing the game down and getting Shipley the ball and moving it, especially now that he has two running backs that are really good. But I do think Shipley gets the bulk workload here. I think he's a decent play. I mean, UNC receivers are hot and cold other than Devontae Walker, probably, who's 8,100. So I ain't taking him. That's too expensive of a price for me as far as wide receiver goes. But plenty of low-priced options on Clemson. Their highest wide receiver, who's not bad, is Bo Collins at 5,100. While you can go down as far as 4,000 and get a decently contributing wide receiver on Clemson. So there's options in this game to get into it that are cheap. But I think the best play here is Amarian Hampton, just because of the way Clemson doesn't have that great of a run defense, and he really gets involved with both aspects, the ground and receiving aspects of this North Carolina offense. Well,
yeah, it's tough with UNC because they spread, you said hot and cold. I think it's more so they just spread the ball around so much, which does create that hot and cold as far as, you know, DFS points. Obviously it's tough to go over there with a receiver. I do think they're going to play a good football game. The spread is a little bit high to me. I agree that Clemson should be the favorite. Spread is a little bit high to me, though, so I kind of would lean on that North Carolina. I won't bet it, though, because you mentioned number 20 team in the nation playing Clemson. When you have a ranked team playing an unranked team and the unranked team is the favorite, do not bet against them. Don't ask me why. It's just what the numbers show. I mean, 99%, I don't know the exact number, 95% of the time we'll say the favorite comes in and covers. So be careful of that one.
Yeah. That's it for the games this week, Wal. Not much crazy movement other than we saw that swap in the rankings last week from Georgia and Ohio State. Everything pretty much stayed consistent in the top 10 there, other than Missouri moved up with their big win. You had Louisville move up and a couple other teams. Biggest move this week was Iowa went up six spots, or Iowa, they went up to 16. And the biggest fall would have been Kansas moving down nine spots to the 25th spot, with Oklahoma State right behind them and losing eight spots, while down to 23 after their awful loss to UCF.
Well, I mean, Iowa played a fantastic football game. We haven't talked about them enough on this podcast, considering we're huge Hawkeyes fans. We're sitting number 16 in the nation. I have gripes with the playoff committee, let me tell you. But props to them for not being like everyone else and missing the fact that Iowa is an extremely good football team, even though they don't score points. Who do we play last week, Woj? We played Rutgers, right? Rutgers had 107 total yards. We're not talking about passing yards. We're not talking about rushing yards. We're talking about total yards gained in the football game, barely three digits. 107 yards. That's a fantastic defensive program. There are two sides to the ball. I will give the playoff committee props for realizing that and paying attention to it.
I'm going to keep my mouth shut until the Big Ten championship game, and we'll see how we do
against you let the true
Ohio
fans
State
talk.
Or Michigan.
While you keep your mouth shut over there, do you know who we're on pace right now? And I didn't look at any sources or anything, but me knowing how college football works and the Bulls work, you know who we're on pace to play likely in a bowl game?
I did not know.
Alabama would be my guess right now. If nothing was to change throughout the rest of the season and Georgia beats Bama, Alabama would be my guess as to who we play in a bowl game. What a fantastic spread that would be. Get the most points I've ever gotten on our Iowa Hawkeyes. So I kind of like that if it came to fruition.
Yeah, it'd be interesting, especially with Alabama's offense doing what they've been doing. It's something that I think Iowa would do well against.
I agree.
We'll see. We'll have to see there. As far as our year-long fantasy wall, I just got to give a shout out to myself. I made it to the playoffs, even though I had the I don't know if it was doctored game against you or what happened there, but it didn't matter. I still made the playoffs well.
Get out of here. This is nonsense. you're talking about year-long fantasy football with me. I mean, I don't even think, you are eligible. You did pay. God darn it. I was just going to say you were not eligible to win, but you got your money in at the last minute. I wish you luck, though. Out of everyone that's in there, I hope you take down those other chumps.
I got Story 1135 first week, so we'll see. He's got a tough team, but I got some guys. I went onto the free agent market there, picked up a couple guys, so we'll see what happens. I just need my guys to play that are playing in the SEC, and then they need to play the whole game and not get sat after the first quarter, which is very highly likely. So it's just a kind of a shitty thing to have happen this week too, because it's always the first week of the playoffs when teams are playing these things, and it's just tough to kind of figure out who you want to play, especially when they're playing awful teams, because you know they're going to get sat. So
it's always difficult because it's not necessarily are they going to do well or are they not. It's a coin. The coin flip comes in is, are they going to play for a long time or not? Right.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a difficult decision because it's just kind of a coin flip.
Yeah. All right. Well, I had Oklahoma State last week, obviously lost that. You had Nebraska, you lost in the hook. You had +2.5. They got three. So they lost in the hook there for you. I'm 7-4 in the season. You're 4-6-1. We have 2 weeks left to rebound, and you rebound for the season. What is your pick for this week, Wall?
Well, I'm not happy about the season so far. And I will say last week I did get three on my actual bet for Nebraska. So it was push for me on the actual bet. But as far as the Woj and Wall College, Wall and Woj college football, the rundown pick them. Did not get the W. I had written down here, Woj, Duke -3.5, but I'm just pissed off. I'm going to go over here. As we're doing this, I'm jumping into sportsbettingintel.com because I'm going to make sure I get the best line on this game. You might know where I'm going with this one, but I'm going to hop over to App State. What is our threshold? -120, right? This one's a pretty consistent. I can't give myself that 9.5. This one's pretty consistent at 9. So I'm going to have to go App State +9, Woj, to take down James Madison. And for the real bet, I'll be putting a little bit on that money line. You can believe it.
Okay. I don't not like your pick. I think it's a good pick. I think James Madison is going to struggle, and that's a lot of points to cover for James Madison. So even if they were to win, it's still a lot of points to cover. So I do like that pick, but I'm going to go with Arizona -1 against Ooh. Utah. They're wow. playing another ranked team, a number 22 Utah, who did just lose to Washington 35-28. Arizona played Washington tougher. So we'll just say that. But they are the ranked team killer. And I'm going to keep playing that. I think Arizona beats Utah. Well,
that's, I mean, that's,
I can get them for -105 to an MGM. Thanks to Sports Betting Intel telling me that information.
Hey, I like that. You plugged them too. Plug our partners over there. Use the code Rundown. Help us out, guys. Come on. Come on. Help us out. I like that pick. Well, just kind of like you said with James Madison, it's not a pick I would make myself because I'm not going to bet against Utah, but as far as how Arizona's been doing against those teams you mentioned, those good football teams, they've been playing phenomenal. So, hey, I don't mind it, Woj. I'm not going to be happy about putting my money on it this week because I got to back you in your hot hand. You are firing on all cylinders everywhere. Daily fantasy, year-long fantasy. Woj and Wall, pick them. Woj, come on. This is your year, baby.
Well, hopefully. I got to get a couple more wins here, but we'll see. But from the Wall and Woj College Football Rundown, I'm Woj. Man, it's tough even saying the right name there after I just said that. Again, for the College Football Rundown with Woj and Wall, I'm Woj.
And I'm Wall.
Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week with some updated conference championship breakdowns. Can't wait for it. See who's going to be in.
Love it.
Rundown Nation, thanks for listening to our episode. You can catch all of our podcasts and information on www.collegefootballrundown.com. We have upcoming games. We have SBI information on there. They're a big partner sponsor with us. If you want to sign up to their website, please use code RUNDOWN when you do that. It helps us out. It helps them out as well. But so much good information on that website. So please check them out. Please check our website out. You can catch us on Twitter at WWCFB. Our Instagram is college_football_rundown. Please take a look, take some time. We do our weekly DraftKings League, so make sure to get in on that. All the information for that is on our website. Other than that, I'm Woj.
And I'm Wall.
And we are now definitely out. Thank you for listening.